Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank God, isn't he great? And greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Why don't we just say praise the Lord about three times? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you do praise him, it makes you want to praise him again, don't it? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, in the book of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about there will come a time when they say, lo, the Lord is here, or lo, he's there, he's in the desert, he's here and he's there. And there's a lot of folks talking about where he is. And some people, most people probably don't know where he is. But he's here. I said he's here. Let's sing that chorus. He is here. Hallelujah. Oh, he is here. Hallelujah, he is here, amen, he is here, holy, holy, I will bless his name again, he is here, so listen closely, hear him calling out your name, he is here, you can touch him. You will never be the same. Oh, he is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless his name again. He is here. So listen closely. Calling out your name, he is here, and you can touch him, you will never be the same. And he is here, hallelujah, he is here, amen, he is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here. So listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. And you can touch him. You will never be the same. Amen. He's here. I want to touch him. Amen. That's what the woman in the widow woman in the Bible said. If I can but just touch his clothes, if I can just reach him, if I can just be in his presence. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. I just want to say hallelujah. Thank God he is not only here, but he's real and you can touch him. And you will never be the same if you ever reach up to him in faith and let God minister to you. Amen. I want to sing that chorus again. You believe he's here right where you are? You know, he's a God of the whole church, but he's a God also of the individual. I like that, don't you? Amen. Hallelujah. Sing it. Oh, he is here. Hallelujah, he is here, amen, he is here, holy, holy, I will bless his name again, he is here, so listen closely, hear him calling out your name, he is here, and you can touch him. You will never be the same. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here. So listen closely, hear him calling out your name. He is here and you can touch him. You will never be the same. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Find your King James Version hymn book and turn to page 116. Glory to God. Getting ready to leave this world. Well, I'm ready to go, aren't you? Somebody said you can't know that for sure. Oh, don't tell me. Amen. Getting ready to leave this world. 116. Laying up my treasures in that home above, trusting, fully trusting in the Savior's love, doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. I'm getting ready to leave this old world. Well, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready for the gates of pearl. I'm keeping, I'm watching, oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. I'm keeping, I'm watching, and I'm getting ready to leave this world. Trusting in the riches of his saving grace, any earthly trial I his love can trace. Sure that up in heaven I shall find a place. I'm getting ready to leave this old world. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Oh, I'm keeping, oh yes, hallelujah. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. I'm keeping, I'm watching, and I'm getting ready to leave this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If he were to come in the next 5 minutes, do you know you're leaving here? Amen. I'll ask it again. If he were to come in the next 5 minutes, do you know you're leaving here? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to sing that last verse. We get to that chorus. If you know that everything is okay, the Lord has already washed all your sins away, and you're sanctified unto him. You're justified by his resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. And you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, and he's the Holy Ghost baptizer. Thank God. And it only come from him. Hallelujah. If you know all of this, and you've been living faithful to God, you know you're ready to meet him. Praise God. What a consolation. What a joy that is. Amen. And then we get to that chorus, we're going to change it a little bit and say, I am now ready. I am now ready to leave this world. Let's go on the last. To prepare a mansion, Jesus said, I'll go. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while to linger here below. I am now ready to leave this world. Oh, I am now ready to leave this world. Oh, I am now ready for the gates of pearl. I'm keeping, I'm watching. Oh, I am now ready to leave this world. Well, I am now ready to leave this world. Woo! For the gates of pearl I'm keeping, I'm watching. this world. I am now ready for the gates of pearl. I'm keeping, I'm watching. Oh, I am now ready to leave this world. Yes, I am now ready to leave this world. I am now ready for the gates of pearl. I'm keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I am now ready to leave this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sir. All right, let's sing it on the last again. To prepare a mansion, Jesus said, I'll go. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while to linger here below. I am now ready to leave this world. Oh, I am now ready to leave this world. I am now ready for the gates of pearl. I'm keeping, I'm watching both day and night. I am now ready to leave this world. Yes, I am now ready to leave this world. I am now ready for the gates of pearl. I'm keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I am now ready to leave this world. Oh, I am now ready to leave this world. I am. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, I am now ready to leave this world. Oh, I am now ready to leave this world. I am now ready for the gate of pearl. I'm keeping, I'm watching both day and night. I am now ready to leave this world. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor. I feel the same way about my pastor. I love this man. And I hope you feel that way about your pastor. Amen. If you don't, we need to pray through. Because that's God's representative. And you know, I've learned over the years, I've got to come under his authority. I've got to submit to the authority of the man of God. And I tell you, that's a safe place to be when we're submitted. Amen. We're going to talk about that a little bit here. But it is a joy to be in camp meeting. And we was coming down the road, and wife and I was singing one of them old hymns out of the King James. And we got to shout, and I did. And I said, hallelujah, we're going to camp meeting. I just feel that Holy Ghost, you know. David was talking about that when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Thank God for this great privilege to be here and see people that we love dearly, our extended church family. And we're just excited to be here with you. Amen. I'm going to try not to take as much time as my pastor did last night. we were in Mexico one time, and one of the brothers that was with us told him, said, Brother Joy don't need a clock on the wall, he needs a calendar. We just change the date, you know. Praise the Lord. But it is a joy to be in the house of God. And if you got your Bible there with you, turn with me to St. Luke's Gospel. Chapter number 24. Praise God forever. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and we'll begin reading in verse number 46. If you'd like to stand for the reading of the Word of God, praise the Lord. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Let's go over to Acts chapter 1 and read the same account. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And then one more passage of scripture, and I'll let you sit down. St. John's Gospel, chapter number 14, and verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Oh, stretch your hand this way and ask God to help us this morning. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the great privilege to be in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God that you've laid upon our heart. And now we ask you, God, for the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost to deliver the message, God, that you've laid upon our heart. Amen. Help us, Father. We have no confidence in the flesh. We're trusting you, Lord, to meet the need here in this hour. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. God's church is a Pentecostal church. Amen. His church is a Pentecostal church. The book of Acts is the pattern for the church today. Amen. I do not believe, as many are trying to tell us in this hour, amen, that this pattern was just for the initiation of the church, just to get it started, and we don't enjoy those blessings in this day and hour. Amen. I do not believe that. Amen. This doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is under vehement attack, just like all the other major doctrines of the Word of God. I've never seen such a time, amen, when there are blatant attacks on the major fundamental doctrines of the Word of God as they are in this hour. Amen. The Apostle Peter made the statement in Acts 2 and 39. He said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God, amen, shall call. But you and I, you know, my pastor tells me that the gospel is like a beautiful tapestry. And if you remove one part of that tapestry, it all crumbles to pieces. Amen. And you know that is true. The doctrines of the Word of God are so intricately woven together. Amen. That we cannot separate, amen, these beautiful doctrines of the Word of God. Amen. But you and I are living in a time that the psalmist spoke of in Psalm 119, verse 126. He said, "It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law." Oh my, don't we live in that hour? Amen. That word void, it means to render useless. And this word of God has been so mutilated and so much has been removed from it and taken out of it, amen to God, that it's taken its toll on the church world. Amen to God. But in spite of all of that, Christ is still building himself a church. And it is a glorious church, not having spot, nor wrinkle, or any such thing. Amen. It is a church. Amen. He said, he told Peter, amen, the gates of hell may war against this church, but he said they shall not prevail. He is still building himself a church, even in 2014. And he affords you and I the great privilege, amen, of being a lively stone in that temple that he is building. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I want to be a part of that church that he is building. Glory to God. And this meeting, amen, the focus of this meeting is preparing for the latter rain outpouring. Preparation is of vital importance. These disciples that are standing here in the text that we have read, amen, here they are in a post-resurrection appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. These disciples were called very early on in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. 3.5 years he's been preparing these disciples for what is about to take place in that upper room. Amen. There's preparation that's going on. And there's some things that I see in these disciples, amen, that are preparing them for what is about to happen. Number one, faithfulness. These men started out with Christ in the beginning of his earthly ministry. Here they are after his resurrection. If we read on through the rest of the Bible, these men remained faithful to Christ. Amen. All the way through. They never left it. They never left the teaching that he gave them. They never departed from the truth that he implanted in their heart. Amen to God. They were faithful to God all the way to death. Amen. History tells us that every one of them died a martyr's death except for John. They were faithful. What a lacking quality that is in the day and hour that you and I live in. And my friend, before we're going to get anywhere with God, we have got to be faithful to God. We've got to be faithful to his house. I've never seen such a time, amen, when people just regarded church as a take it or leave it matter. Amen. We've got to be faithful to the house of God. Whoa. We got to be faithful to the house of God. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, with all that's going on in the world, you'd think it'd be the other way around. You'd think, you know, you wouldn't find room on a pew. You'd think people would wake up and recognize that the Jesus is about to come. Amen. All of this day of the Lord is about to be set in place. Amen. But there's such lackadaisicalness and haphazardness when it comes to the things of God. Oh, God help us. These men were faithful. Amen. They were with Jesus when he preached messages. Hard sayings in John 6. Jesus was preaching a message about, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. Amen. Many of them that heard what he said, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Amen. Verse 66 said, many of his disciples from that time went back and walked no more with him. It's a sad time because we're seeing that happen in the church world. Many that once held the line, that preached old time holiness. Amen to God, that preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Many are walking back and going back to the world and forsaking the truth. What a sad day it is. Amen. But these men stayed with him. Jesus didn't change that message to keep the crowd. No. He just simply turned to those disciples and he said, will you also go away? Will you also go away? But I like what Peter said. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. It ain't nowhere else to go. Amen. We got to stay with the word of God and stay with the truth. Buy the truth. Amen. And sell it not. These men had a revelation of who he was. It wasn't just a head knowledge. Amen. In Matthew 16, Jesus coming to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples a question. And he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, or one of the prophets. But Jesus made it personal. He said, but whom say ye that I am? Amen. And this gospel always gets personal. Amen to God. Whom say ye that I am? And Peter spoke up once again. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. You know what he's telling Peter? Amen. You're not telling me something mom and daddy taught you. You're not telling me something you learned, amen, in Sunday school. But you have had a divine revelation of who I am. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Paul said, this gospel that I preach, amen, I wasn't taught it, neither did I learn it. But he said, but it came by revelation. Whoa! When he was in that desert of Arabia with the parchments, and the Son of God revealed himself to the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah, it was a revelation. These men had a revelation. There's a major difference in having a head knowledge of this thing and having a heart revelation of who he is. Oh, I tell the boys in the prison, I said, get you a King James Bible. Open to the book of John. Pray before you read it. And I want you to pray, Lord, reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to me in the pages of this blessed book. Oh, he will reveal himself. Hallelujah to God. Amen. The next thing, these men recognized the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The authority of the Word of God. Amen. And they submitted to that authority. Whoa. James 4 and 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, period. That jumped out at me. Period. Not then, not and, but period. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit here means to subordinate, to obey, to be under obedience. I am convinced that Psalm 91, the secret place that he talks about in that psalm, is a place of submission under his wings. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. Again, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Oh, hallelujah to God. I'm talking about being in that secret place of submission to the Word of God. Now, the Apostle Paul presents an obstacle to that submission. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Verses 6, 7, and 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Wow. This is an obstacle here now. It cannot. It's impossible, is what that word means. It's not able. It's not possible for the flesh to come under the authority of the Word of God. Impossible. It may sit on your pew. It may adapt to your standard. But it cannot submit to the authority of the Word of God. Whoa, my. Lord Jesus. Paul says, the carnal mind, sarx, the human nature, with all of its frailties, physical or moral, is enmity against God. That word enmity is a strong word. It means hostility. It means opposition. It even means hatred. It is enmity against God, that carnal man. It is not subject to God, neither indeed can be. Now, the flesh will be religious. Yeah, the flesh will be religious. Let's go to Matthew 7. Jesus, in these verses here, gives us a glimpse into the future judgment. In the latter part of this chapter, verses 21 through 23. Let's read those together. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? They're working. These are religious people. Amen. They're holding religious services. Amen. But the reply is breathtaking. When Jesus said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The flesh will be religious. Amen. The flesh will even be ultra. Brother Gans coined that phrase last night about some holiness factions. And the flesh will do those things. Yeah. It'll adapt. It'll go through the motions of religion. It'll adapt to your standard of dress. But it will not die. It will not die. And die it must. It's got to die. It's got to die. In Matthew 22, Jesus gives a parable. He's talking to the Pharisees on this occasion. And he's talking about the marriage supper. And he tells of a man that comes into that banquet hall not having on the wedding garment. Now, we know from reading the book of Revelation that that wedding garment is the righteousness of the saints. We also know that the Father provided the garment that was to be worn to that wedding banquet. It was provided. If you and I have any holiness, it is because it has been imparted to you and I. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags in His sight. So here this man comes presumptuously into that wedding banquet. Amen. And those filthy rags of his own righteousness stand out like a sore thumb in the company, amen, of that bride. Stand out. And the Father comes in to behold those guests and he says, "What's he doing in here?" And he comes to him and he addresses him, "Friend, how comest thou in hither, not having on the wedding garment?" That word "friend" is the same word "friend" that Jesus used when he addressed Judas Iscariot in the garden. It is a clansman. He was with him. He went to church with him. But he wasn't dead. He had on the filthy rags of his own righteousness, hoping that that was going to get him, gain him acceptance into that heavenly kingdom. Oh, that scares me. Because I know people that put a lot of stock in things. In things, outward things. But he's called us to holiness. Holiness. My. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a frightening passage to me. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." If that's not frightening in and of itself. But verse 5. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." These people have a form. Instead of adapting to the truth of God's holy word, they've adapted a form of religion. Amen to God. And they have services. But Paul said they deny the power thereof. They deny the power of this gospel to set a man free from sin. They deny it. We sin every day, they say, in word, thought, and deed. What a miserable doctrine. But it's prevalent in this day and hour. And even holiness churches, they may not so much as say it with their lips, but the way they live tells me they believe it too. Oh, living God. A sin in religion. These are indeed perilous times, treacherous times in the church world. But the word of God will see the way clear. Hallelujah to God. The Apostle Paul, in the same book of Romans, tells us what has to happen with that carnal man, that carnal nature. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. He that is dead, a corpse to sin. Are you dead to sin? Or have you just covered over that carnality with an outward show and an outward form? Church, I still believe in old time sanctification. Hallelujah. This man of God has instilled these truths in my heart. Oh, I still believe in a second definite work of grace whereby the believer, his heart is cleansed from sin. Brother Smith, I know where I'm going because I know where I've been.
Been to Calvary.
Crucified with him. Galatians 2 and 20, the apostle said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Holiness. Holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, God commands us to be holy. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hebrews 12 and 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. Oh, 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Woo! He's called us unto holiness, church. And that old man cannot submit to that death. He must die. He'll submit to a whole lot of things, but he's got to go to that cross. Jesus prayed for this in John 17. Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I searched the scriptures in vain for something good to say about the flesh, and I couldn't find it. Jesus said in John 6 and 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Romans 8 and 13. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Oh, glory to God. Galatians 6 and 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Ephesians 4 and 22. That you put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We got to be sanctified. That's the way you prepare for the latter rain. Before we can ever be raised to walk in newness of life, there must be the death of that old man. A funeral always precedes a resurrection. He's got to die. He's got to die. But when he does, when that old man has been crucified, Brother Ray Hughes made a statement. He said, you get a good man good and sanctified, 1,000 deputy sheriffs with butcher knives can't keep him from being filled with the Holy Ghost. Can't do it. Man gets good and sanctified. Jesus said, he will keep my commandments. And I and my Father will love him. And we, plural, will come unto him and make our abode. But he's not going to share that house with that old man. I can promise you that. That old man got to go. My pastor was preaching along these lines one Sunday morning. Pulled his coat off and threw it up in the choir loft. He said, I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I put off the old coat and put on the new. Woo! I'm telling you, we got to be sanctified, church. Hallelujah to God. Before there can ever be resurrection power experienced in the church of the living God, there must be the death of that old man. God help us. God help us. I want to be a part of the church that he's building. And it is a holy church. Paul said it don't have a spot or a wrinkle nor any such thing, but that it should be holy. Without a blemish. Oh, living God. Stand with me here today. Sister Bonnie, could you come to the piano? And let's sing, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true. Hallelujah. God help us to be a sanctuary for the living God. That's what he's after. Just habitation. You and I build it together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Let's sing. Hallelujah. Pure and holy. Got to be sanctified, got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you expect to go in that pre-wrath, pre-millennial rapture of the church, I still believe in divine healing. Still in the book, brother. This man of God has instilled these truths right here. And I love him for it. I love him for it. Thank God for the truth of this word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God.
Sing it again, will you? Oh Lord, prepare to be a sanctuary. Got to be graveyard dead, and he's got to stay that way. We don't pray, we don't read that Bible, he'll get up in the mornings when we do. It's an ongoing process. I'm like Brother Danny, I believe in that initial instantaneous work, but there's a continuous aspect to it. Also, he got to stay dead. Keep him nailed to that cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Danny. That's part of preparation for the latter rain outpouring. That's what we've been talking about at our church, you know. And it's going to take it to have that Holy Ghost outpouring. That's the unpleasant part. That's what folks don't want to face up to and deal with, is a crucifixion of that old man. It's just hard to admit, you know, we got some things in our heart and life that oughtn't to be there. But we got to crucify him and keep him nailed to that cross. Praise the Lord. Do you love him this morning?
Thank God. Well, we're looking forward to part two, Brother Mayo. I believe the Holy Ghost just going to use him in a wonderful way again today. Take about a 10-minute break. I don't have a watch. I don't know what time it is.